And so my little title today is The Lord Added to the Church Daily. Daily. And so our first scripture text today is from Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the second half. It says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you know, I always use the New King James Version for my references. The Lord added to the church, how often? Daily. Those who were being saved. Do you think there is that day that passes without God saving someone? Do you allow days to pass without you trying to save someone? Because, you know, there are sinners all around us. To begin with, you are a sinner yourself, so am I. Yes? And then if you're married, your spouse is a sinner. Amen? And if you have children, even though you are two good old saints, your children are still sinners. And you can think of relatives and classmates in school and neighbors next door and co-workers in the workplace and people who have the distinct privilege like Sister Arlene in retirement. People in retirement are sinners too. Amen? The point is, as you see people moving about, these are candidates for heaven who still need to be saved. Amen? And while we continue to be saved, we need to reach out to others so they too can be saved. What do you say? Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, I pray for each child, each youth, each grown up here today. I pray that each of us will feel, will experience, will sense, will know your presence today, will know you, whom to know is life eternal. Speak to us in your word. May your name be glorified. May our souls be uplifted to Christ. And Jesus, may you be high and lifted up, because you say, if you be lifted up, then you will draw all men unto you. Speak to us in your words. May our hearts just light up with the love of Christ. And may we be willing to go share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that's the sacred record of the church which God came in human flesh and established, and of which we are the remnant. Now we know that a remnant is the last remaining portion of the original, right? And we identify in scriptures that the Seventh-day Adventist church is God's remnant church of Bible prophecy. Now, if we're the last remaining part of that church that the apostles carried on after Jesus went back to heaven, should we look like that church? Yes? Amen? Are people being saved in our church every day? Is the Lord adding to us the people who are being saved? Every day. Every day. Every member back then was a worker for Christ. When you read the record in Acts, and when you read what our own prophetess has to say, there was not an idle member in the church. When it started out, people were on fire. They never needed any motivation to go tell somebody about Jesus. They knew that what they have experienced for themselves, they just couldn't contain it. It's like what Jeremiah says. It's like fire shot up within my bones. I have to find an outlet. And the only outlet of a sweet relationship with Jesus is sharing it with others. They did that. Every member back then was a worker for Christ. And God is calling today that every member now be a worker for Christ. You know, we have a general conference initiative. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. And so those of you in the hearing of my voice, what is your role in the church? Do you think you have to be a pastor to do something? Do you think you have to be an elder to do something? Do you think you have to be a board member to do something? Do you think you have to even be a member to do something? We all can do something for Jesus. Amen? What is your role in the church? And then I have this question. Thinking of Jesus and looking at your life, are you a bridge or a barrier? Ask yourself that honest question. In this connection with Christ, are you a bridge to Christ or a barrier from Christ? Now, are you making disciples of Jesus out of those who come to us, or are you driving them away? The people that Christ put in your path, what manner of member are you? And these are legitimate questions to ask oneself. Do you take the time to warmly welcome guests and members to this church? How warm are you? What's your temperature? When you see a church member that you haven't seen all week or for the last couple of weeks or the last month, how do you respond to them? What if today was the last day you was going to see this member or that member? How would you like that to go down? It was the last time you were going to see a member. What would you like that member to leave church today thinking of you and of your relationship with them? See, in church, there is the vertical relationship between us and God. But there's also the lateral or horizontal relationship between each other. Do you truly pray that each person here have the assurance of salvation? The assurance of salvation. Whenever the Lord add new people to our church, do you make time to befriend them and encourage them in the life of the saved? Or do you just leave that up to the elders and the pastor and the board members? When did the Lord add you to the church? It's always good to go back over that time. When did he add you to the church? Are you still being saved by Jesus Christ? Now, Christ taught about wheat and tares. Which do you choose to be? Are you assuming your God-given responsibility to proclaim the everlasting gospel? What is it that you enjoy talking about the most? Do you like to talk with Jesus? Do you like to talk about Jesus? And then, here's this one for you. Do you consider people in church as your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you really take that seriously? Do you take that personally? Over the years in my ministry, I have seen and heard things that I only repeat in silent prayers unto the Lord. May this church be the church with a difference. Amen? Man, I've heard church members say things about other church members. Like I said, I don't repeat it. I just talk to Jesus. Thank God. I think Elmira has broken that record. I don't think I've heard that over this side. So we thank God. Amen. I've not heard the mean things here. That's good. So I commend you, Elmira Church. But I've heard it in other parts of the world. I'll just say it that way. Let us speak kindly of one another. Amen? Let us speak kindly to one another. Let's all take some time. And this came up in Sabbath school. I was smiling. Let's all take some time for introspection and to do a spiritual checkup. Your thoughts, your frame of mind, your words, your actions, your character, are they after the order of Jesus Christ? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, And working our way to the first half of verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle." You know, we are living, we are dwelling in perhaps the most sinful, the most grand, the most awful time, and definitely the most solemn time in all of Earth's history. There's not another day or era like today, like now. And the test is coming home to each of us. You know, today we have a guest speaker in Investo. The newest youth director of the conference is there. And then this afternoon we're all going to meet up at 5 o'clock at Nathaniel Cole's Park for a big, the dub is called Super Sabbath. And they invite different members of the churches. While it is youth focused, everybody is invited. We meet up at 5 o'clock there today. And then we'll close, they'll do some special activities. And then close the day with pizza and prayer. Just gathering an army of youth to help to finish this work. That's what all of these things are about. It's really getting to the point where everybody gets serious and we finish this work. The work is not going to get done in all the world until it gets done in our part of the world. We all have a part to play. And I've read that God is going to use the energy of the youth with the wisdom and resources of the aged, and he's going to pull it together like we're Eli and Samuel. That's what our prophetess says. God's going to do that, and the work is going to get done. So all the little Amariahs, yes, and the little Malachis, God is calling all the children of the world. And I didn't catch your granddaughter's name yet. Nayana. All the little Nayanas. Jesus is calling for you. Where did Jacob go? All the little Jacobs. Jesus is calling for all the children. He's going to finish the work with all of us united. Amen? He's going to do that. How many of you really believe that we're living in the most solemn times? The most solemn time of this earth's history. Let me see the hands. Good. So there's a good witness. We mostly, if not altogether, believe that. Brothers and sisters, Paul, Peter, or John, or Matthew, these guys would love to be living now. We are that close to the coming of Christ. And these guys would have loved to live literally, and see the appearing. And we're getting ever so closer to the appearing. We cannot allow the guys who read about in the Bible to have been any more excited than we are. We are supposed to be the most excited generation that ever lived. We are that much closer to the coming of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is that much ready to finish the work. We did a small group training a few weeks back, and we're getting ready now to really launch some evangelistic small groups. We're getting ready to jump out with that. So don't think for a minute that that went quiet. That was another seminar and another one. No, we're really taking actions. We're going to move forward on this. How many of you are praying for the evangelistic small groups? Praying to be a part of it. Praying to lead one, to participate in one. How many of you are praying? And if you haven't yet, I invite you to start praying. God wants to use this method to finish the work. And we are living in solemn times. We're living in a judgment hour time of Revelation 14:6. Fear God. Give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come. As Seventh-day Adventists, we shouldn't be talking about a judgment day coming. We should be talking about the judgment day now. We are living in a great investigative judgment. Yet so many people on earth, even in the church, seem unconcerned. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 22 verse 14. He says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Some people in church are as cold as ice. I reckon that many are cold and a few are frozen. But how do we spiritually defrost and thaw out and be fired up for Christ? I pull this one for you from Steps to Christ, page 99. "Let the soul be drawn out and upward, that God may grant us a breath of the heavenly atmosphere. We may keep so near to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun." End of quote. When trials come your way, how do you respond? This is, we may be so thick with God that when the trials come, we turn to God as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. The Lord is ready to save people from sin today as much as He ever was in any of humanity's history. Those who do not believe God perfectly and who do not seek God daily for strength are left to the strong delusions and the insanely erroneous theories that are so prevalent nowadays. Truth and righteousness don't seem to matter anymore in the wider society. But we must stand for God's truth, though it may cost us dearly. Let us know and carefully examine the foundation of our faith and hope. The times in which we live demand that we are able to give a reason for our faith from the scriptures. Multi-pronged delusions are spreading rapidly. We are contending with them face to face. If we are not prepared by the power of God, we are bound to be ensnared and overcome. But if we do the things we ought to on our part and be ready for the conflict that is now full throttle, God will also do His part. May our hearts, may our homes, may the houses of worship be castles of God's righteousness and theaters of God's grace. If now is not the time to own God's commission, then when? If we're not the ones to own God's commission, then who will? Let's take up the cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Even in the little details of life, we are either on God's side or else we are on Satan's side. There is no neutral ground. Each of us is on one side of the great controversy between God and Satan, between truth and error, between self-centeredness and God's righteousness. Now, back in December of 1995, or in early January of 1996, I had one of the most remarkable dreams ever. in my entire life. In that dream, I was standing at a bus stop. And I just reached up my hand to kind of relax, and suddenly I saw the moon in the heavens, and the moon was turned into blood. I would have read that in the recent past and knew it to be a sign of the coming of the end of the world. And so when I saw that, I was like, my God, the world has ended and I am not ready. And when I looked, maybe about from here to the double door as we enter this building, about that distance from me, I could see a train passing. Pearly white train. It was designed like one of the modern maglev trains. That was the kind of design. Very modern 21st century looking train. But it wasn't moving with any great speed. It was moving very gently and steadily. And I watched as coach after coach passed by, and door after door. I could see through the windows. It was very well lit. And the people on board, they looked so pleasant. They looked so healthy. They looked so happy. And to my amazement, that was the train on its way to heaven. Problem was, I was not on board. I was standing over here watching the train going to heaven. The last coach of the train was about passing. And the very last door of the train was passing. And for the second time I did this, because they said, that's the train to heaven. The last door is passing and I am not on that train. Just then a man stepped in the door who was Jesus himself. And he did this to me 3 times. Miraculously, I got from that bus stop and onto that train. That next morning when I awoke and I looked and the heavens were in place and I looked and I saw the earth still good, I said, this is it. This is it. This day with Jesus, there is no going back for me. It's with Christ from this day forward. And praise God, all these years later, still going forward. I cannot say the journey has been perfect because I still have a sinful nature that I have to wage war against through the blood of the Lamb. But it's onward, it is upward, it is forward with Jesus. Amen? Amen and amen. Now, that was my dream. In one of her more than 2,000 visions, the Lord gave her own prophet this view. What did I see in my dream again? Train. Catch this one now, in a vision from our prophetess. A train of cars was shown me going with the speed of lightning. The train I saw, how fast was it going again? Very gently, very steadily. This one was going with the speed of lightning. The angel bade me look carefully. I fixed my eyes upon the train. It seemed that the whole world was on board, that there could not be one left. Said the angel, they are binding in bundles, ready to burn. Then he showed me the conductor, who appeared like a stately, fair person, whom all the passengers looked up to and reverenced. I was perplexed and asked my attending angel who it was. He said, it is Satan. He is the conductor in the form of an angel of light. He has taken the world captive. They are given over to strong delusions to believe a lie that they may be damned. This agent, The next highest in order to him is the engineer, and others of his agents are employed in different offices as he may need them. And they are all going with lightning speed to perdition. End of quote. From that vision, I say the world is in big trouble. Humanity is now in one final mass migration move. With the exception of God's remnant people, all human beings are on this hell-bent, hell-bound train, purposely driven at lightning speed by Satan. On Satan's train, some are being entertained by the fallen stars of Hollywood. Others are consumed with violent video games and cynicisms and criticisms and the endless cycle of sports. Some on Satan's train are distracted with the World Wide Web, www. of conspiracy theories. Some people on Satan's train are diehard Democrats. Some people on Satan's train are diehard Republicans. The point is, God's people must never be caught up in party politics. I hear people in church talking politics instead of praising God. Instead of being caught up in party politics, even in our homes, we should be preparing for translation to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we should be caught up with, amen? And just in case you thought that I was out on a limb, here is something from inspiration for you. Second Selected Messages, page 337. We are not as a people to become mixed up with political questions. All would do well to take heed to the word of God. Quote, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, end of quote, in political strife, nor bind with them in their attachments. There is no safe ground in which they can stand and work together. The loyal and the disloyal have no equal ground on which to meet. He who breaks one precept of the commandments of God is a transgressor of the whole law. And here's a strong point in this quote. Keep your voting to yourself. Do not feel it your duty to urge everyone to do as you do. End of quote. I was in church and heard a little child said, Joe Biden should be killed. And I'm not saying that to support any camp. But when you can so talk politics in your home that a little child would come to church and blurt that out in church, that's not godly. What kind of hate are you teaching in your home that your child would come to church and say that out loud for the whole church to hear? That's where we are. May Elmira stand strong with Jesus. Do not be bandwagonist. I say to all human beings, get off of Satan's train. Some people are on his train, even though their names are on the church records. But those who are riding, but those people who are in church, who are not living the light, are only riding first class to hell. But I'm saying to God's children today, there is hope right now. Amen? We have time now to repent and to get off that train. We need to get onto God's heavenly train. Amen? The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. He is doing that today, right now. God saves people from their sins and add them to his church. The saved no longer live in sin, but continue in the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through to 11, Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." End quote. Amen. Jesus washes, Jesus cleanses, Jesus purifies. No one will enter heaven as a practicing sinner, including the lifestyle of celebrity sins, because that's what we have today, celebrity sins. We must all be washed. We must all be sanctified. We must all be justified in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Jesus is in the heavenly sanctuary doing a mighty work to save each of us. And there is no limit to the power he has there. So, people who will enter heaven with Christ are described in Revelation 12 verse 17. It says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." We know what the Ten Commandments of God are, and we should spend time reflecting on them often, lest we ourselves become careless to any of them. But what exactly is the testimony of Jesus Christ? The heavenly visitor told John in Revelation 19 verse 10, the second half of that verse, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." God's true remnant people now, like the apostles and members of the early Christian church, are and were known to keep God's Ten Commandments and to obey the spirit of prophecy writings. Did you know that the New Testament scriptures were written decades after Christ went back to heaven? At least two decades when the first New Testament book was written. The apostles' writings that we have come to revere came some 450 years after the last portion of the Old Testament scriptures were written. What if the new fledgling New Testament church argued that they saw no light in the apostles' writings? Would they have been better off than people today who say, "I don't need, I don't read, and I don't care to follow anything that Ellen White has written"? Critics say, "You Seventh-day Adventists make her writings equal with the Bible." I say, "No, sir, no, ma'am. The Bible has no equal." Amen? There are and were people who held that only the first five books of the Bible were inspired by God. I've met some of them in person. Should we believe that too? There are people who denounce Moses, saying he was no prophet, that he took too much on himself and just wanted to show off. Are we to hold that position too? There's a whole group of people now who say they only follow the Old Testament scriptures. Are we supposed to follow them? And then most so-called Christian denominations today only care to follow the New Testament scriptures. Are we to follow them? By the way, the New Testament scriptures were never read by Jesus while he was here on earth. They were not yet written. None of the apostles, except the author himself, likely ever read the Gospel of John or the book of Revelation. Paul certainly never did. He died long before these books were written. So you get the point. We don't get to set up where inspiration begins and where it stops. The Word of God does that. Amen? And when God sends us his messengers, we will be wise to carefully read and study what they have said and apply to our lives those wonderful principles. Amen? The Lord added to his church daily those whom he was saving. There were and will always be those in the church who question the authority of the prophets. That is not new. But the question is, where do you stand? Will you humble yourself and diligently search the Bible for Jesus and his purpose for you and obey the truths you see there? See, in my dream, there was a heavenly train managed by Jesus. It was making its way to heaven gently and steadily, and I needed to get on. And Jesus miraculously brought me onto that train. In Ellen White's vision, Satan purposely drove his train at lightning speed so no one could get off. At its blinding speed, only by a miracle of Jesus can anyone get off. Amen? The enemy is at work, but God is the winner. No one can pluck from Jesus those who give themselves into his hands. So as we wrap up today, I want to tell you that God is still saving people. And the most known text in the Bible is John 3:16. And in it it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you read Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through to 47, which is where we close today, you see it clearly what the early church was like. The church that we claim and identify of being the remnant of. Verse 40 says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was preaching this sermon. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added unto them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Four big points there. The church is more than just about doctrine. The church is also about fellowship. The church is also about fellowship meals. The church is also about prayer time. That's why when I came to this district and saw that one church was doing the annual retreat to Cherokee, I pushed to expand it to make it a district retreat where we can come aside and rest a while in nature. Up there at Camp Cherokee, more than 300 acres that the New York Conference of Seventh-day Adventists owns. When last have you been to Cherokee? When last have you come aside and rest a while? When last did you spend some fellowship time with one another outside of church and sermon and Sabbath school? Monday night we'll be starting up in September. Will you make the effort to be a part of that? Or is life just too busy for you? Or perhaps too slow? It says they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's listed there. So, fear came upon everyone. They believed in common. They even went ahead and sold their homes, like on the street which you live in your home. Some even sold their homes. They sold those extra cars, and they sold their private jets. Some of you have your private jets. They sold some of those too. And they went over to the treasurer and gave him all the money. So as he saw the need in the church, all the needs of everyone could be met. They had all things in common and ate their bread with singleness of heart or with simplicity of heart. That oneness. Are we pressing for that oneness in Christ? If today was the last Sabbath you had on earth, how would you spend it? Number 359, Joan. Think about it. If it was the last one, how would you spend it? Our God and our Father, that is our response to you. Here am I, O Lord, send me. Send me to live the life that counts. In my home, in the church, and before the world. Send me to invite someone else to know you, Lord. Send me, Lord, even me, to teach a peer, a fellow classmate, a fellow co-worker, the random stranger even that we cross paths with. Here am I, O Lord, send me to teach them the word. Send me, Lord, to make disciples of men. Send me to invite others to fill the kingdom of God. Send me to invite them to come to Christ, to come to church, and to let's go up to heaven at the appointed time. Bless our meal today. Bless our time of fellowship together. May we rejoice in you, Christ. Amen.